Hello, everybody. I'm very excited that I have the opportunity to speak in front of you today. Before I get started and talk to you about the analysis that I ran, which was predicting alcohol misuse among sexual minorities, I would like to acknowledge my collaborators and co-authors on this project, who are all very helpful and instrumental in the development of these ideas, this presentation, and also the data collection. Many of them are in the audience, so thank you for coming as well. Also, I have no disclosures. So this is probably an audience that I don't need to convince about, or I don't need to convince anybody in this audience about the observed health disparity observed among sexual minorities relative to heterosexuals, I'm sure. But if that is not the case, there is a marked health disparity in the direction of sexual minorities being at increased risk for negative mental health outcomes, and that extends into substance misuse as well, and in the case of this particular analysis, alcohol misuse-related outcomes. And a lot of this disparity can be explained by minority stress, which is a common experience among many sexual minority youth. And minority stress, included within minority stress, is the experience of discrimination, victimization, lack of acceptance, and childhood trauma. Although a number of environmental risk factors have been identified in the context of sexual minority health, one thing that has not really been investigated among sexual minorities is the role of personality. And one specific personality trait with known associations with alcohol misuse is that of impulsivity. So among heterosexual, well, samples that are not specific to sexual minorities, so among non-sexual minority samples, impulsivity has been shown to be a positive predictor of alcohol misuse outcomes. But impulsivity is quite large, and it can be broken up into different facets. And some of those facets include sensation seeking, which is what I'm analyzing in this study. But others include urgency, perseverance, and premeditation. And although those weren't analyzed in the current study, they would be interesting to analyze in future research, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But sensation seeking specifically is defined as a tendency to enjoy and pursue activities that are exciting and an openness to trying new experiences that may or may not be dangerous. So I said there was a link between impulsivity and alcohol misuse outcomes, but more specifically, there is a strong link between sensation seeking, or that particular facet of impulsivity, and alcohol use related outcomes. This relationship is well documented, even at the level of meta-analysis, and the relationships are, I mean, not really strong, but there is a positive and significant correlation, and that correlation translates into about 6.8% of the variance in alcohol use-related outcomes explained by knowledge of one's score on sensation-seeking. Directional relationships have also been observed, such that sensation-seeking scores in middle school predict alcohol consumption-related outcomes in high school. And interestingly, moderated effects have also been observed. Roth and colleagues found that although sensation-seeking is a significant predictor of alcohol use outcomes generally, and you can see that the relationship is certainly there, that doesn't seem to be the case across the board. Those who evidence more resilient personality profiles, so people who are less neurotic, more extroverted, more agreeable, things like that, more resilient personality types, don't really, the relationship between sensation seeking and alcohol use is less pronounced, or maybe even non-existent. Whereas people who are less resilient, that relationship between sensation seeking and alcohol use is quite strong. So that might be part of the reason why that correlation isn't higher. But this is all research done on non-sexual minority identified samples. The only research that's been done with sexual minorities is with regard to drug expectancies, so sensation-seeking predicting problematic substance misuse to the extent that these individuals feel that substance misuse will enhance their sexual experiences. And then more recently, Trocky and colleagues have shown that sensation-seeking is a significant predictor of tobacco and marijuana use, as well as bar patronage, but not necessarily alcohol use per se. And this was a study done on sexual minority identified adults, and this research has not been extended to sexual minority youth until now. Okay. So this is Myers' minority stress model. Those of you familiar with the research on sexual minority health, this model is something that you've probably seen a few times. But basically what it is, it's a sociological model that's attempting to describe the idiosyncrasies of the sexual minority experience. Basically highlighting that sexual minorities are at increased risk for negative mental health outcomes. And a lot of that has to do with some of these things, or these risk factors that are specific to sexual minorities. Such as, once somebody identifies as a sexual minority, they're at an increased risk for experiencing prejudiced events, which includes discrimination and victimization on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity. But also things that are specific to sexual minorities are these internal processes or internalized homophobia, or for example, internalized homophobia or internalized homonegativity. So these are things that have been identified that are contributing to this health disparity. But one thing that is not being considered is the individual characteristic differences regarding personality and how these personality traits might interact with this model, which is a pretty significant omission considering the research that I just presented regarding impulsivity and its role in predicting these outcomes. So basically, where does personality fit in this model? It's not a question that I'm going to answer today, but hopefully some of you will help me out in the near future. My hypothesis then is that sensation seeking will be a significant predictor of alcohol consumption, which is consistent with what I've described so far, among sexual minority youth, above and beyond other known sexual minority risk factors. I'm not saying that we should discredit what's been done on sexual minority health or this model, but maybe it could be augmented and consideration of individual differences is warranted. So the current analysis was actually a secondary data analysis of data collected by my colleague Nick Heck, who was looking at the protective influence of attending a high school with a gay-straight alliance and how that may protect against these negative mental health outcomes. And he's actually in the audience as well, if anybody's interested in chatting with him. So I did use his data for this, in which we collected data on 475 sexual minority identified youth nationally from various organizations, or community organizations, high schools, and social networking websites such as Facebook. And once recruited, we asked them to fill out an online survey. And I'll talk about some of the measures on the next slide. Some basic demographic information consistent with social science research. The majority of our sample was female, about 54%. Male, about 37%. Transgender, about 5%. And other, about 3.2%. Sexual orientation, the majority identified as either exclusively gay or lesbian. Followed by bisexual at 28%, heterosexual at 8.5%, 7% unsure, about 7% for queer and other. Just a quick note on heterosexual. The inclusion criteria for this particular study was such that if they identified as heterosexual, that was okay as long as they endorsed having a lifetime attraction or past. If they reported a history of same-sex sexual attraction or same-sex sexual behavior, they still met inclusion criteria. And these are some of the instruments that we used for this study. So a measure of anxiety, school victimization, parental acceptance, childhood trauma. This particular questionnaire assessed trauma in various ways, including physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, as well as neglect. Then obviously a measure of sensation seeking. And then the alcohol use was measured in three ways. I used the alcohol use disorders identification test, also measured weekly drinking, and whether or not individuals engaged in pre-gaming or pre-partying drinking behaviors. For the analysis, I constructed five hierarchical linear models to predict my five different outcome variables.
And in block one, I entered the demographic variables with known associations to the alcohol use outcome. So in this case, age and gender. In block two, I entered the known minority risk factors, so parental acceptance, victimization, childhood abuse, and symptoms of anxiety. And then finally, sensation seeking, to get at what is sensation seeking predicting above and beyond known sexual minority risk factors. And those are my outcome variables is there, at the bottom there. Oops. So my results were actually pretty interesting. First of all, the overall models were statistically significant predictors of the outcome variable, of the outcome variables, accounting for between 13 and 38% of the variance, which is pretty cool. At block three, our hypothesis was supported in that sensation seeking was found to be a significant predictor of alcohol consumption outcomes. That is, it accounted for about 2% of the variance in weekly drinking, pre-gaming, pre-partying, and audit consumption scores, above and beyond what was predicted by other known minority risk factors. Interestingly, it did not predict current alcohol use problems or alcohol use dependence likelihood. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute, because that's not really a failing of this research. It's actually consistent with what's been done in non-sexual minority-identified samples. Okay. So our hypothesis was supported. After accounting for known minority risk factors, sensation-seeking was a significant predictor of consumption in the sample of sexual minority youth. Sensation seeking does appear to be associated with an increased probability of problematic drinking. However, sensation seeking is not associated with an increased probability of dependence. So not only is this interesting, but it shows that sensation seeking is not only a predictor of alcohol, problematic alcohol use, but it may differentially predict alcohol misuse-related outcomes. It's predicting consumption, it's not predicting dependence or problems associated with alcohol use in this particular sample. And although these results were statistically significant, they were only accounting for about 2% of the variance beyond that. It's expected that if other personality moderators were in these models, that these effects might be a little bit different or a little bit more pronounced, as I mentioned earlier, among those with maybe less resilient personality profiles. So here's Myers model again. Having demonstrated that personality exerts a significant effect on alcohol use outcomes, it is likely that personality plays a role at various points in this model. Right? Everywhere. I don't know exactly where to put these lines, or exactly where to put personality, and if you have any suggestions, I would love for you to come chat with me afterwards, because it's been something that's plagued me for a little while now. But basically, personality explains variance above and beyond what is known, these environmental risk factors. And it's likely that it's interacting at various points throughout this model, even though I wasn't running interaction or moderated analyses in this particular project. Future research will. But for example, somebody experiencing environmental adversity, well, let me go back. Sensation seeking is not a measure of one's propensity to abuse substances. It's one's propensity to engage in activities that evoke excitement and pursue things that are exciting. So sensation seeking might be a predictor of one's inclination to take up snowboarding or surfing or applying to a competitive graduate program outside of or out of state. High sensation seeker up here in front of you. On the other hand, the experience of environmental adversity or continued exposure to discrimination and victimization may influence trait expressions such that it's no longer a predictor of snowboarding or applying to graduate schools outside of out of state, but maybe more of a better predictor of problematic substance misuse outcomes. So I'm trying to say that there's an interaction here, and it's possible that although I have these arrows pointing in the one direction, bidirectional relationships are possible, such that sensation seeking could predict one's response to environmental adversity, their reaction to environmental adversity, and it's also possible that repeated exposure to environmental adversity could influence the form and severity of one's expressed sensation seeking. Things that research has not modeled yet, and I hope it does. Either way, the current work does add to theory on sexual minority health and demonstrates the need to consider personality or the role of personality in future research regarding this health disparity. So a couple of directions for future research. Research should really look to see if there is an interaction between personality or sensation seeking and environmental adversity. While I'm bringing these up, this is not stuff that I analyze specifically, but it should be analyzed in the future. Does environment have an impact on personality and vice versa? Are there other potential personality moderators interacting with the form and severity of one's expressed sensation seeking? Thank you. If, for example, somebody has a high level of sensation seeking, but they're very low on neuroticism, this is somebody who's a little bit more resilient. Their sensation seeking may be manifested more adaptively. Whereas somebody who is very highly neurotic may have a more adverse reaction to environmental adversity, and then their sensation seeking takes on a very different flavor, right? So investigating some of these moderated or potential moderation effects. Also, I found that that sensation seeking was a significant predictor of problematic alcohol use among sexual minorities. But that's just sensation seeking. Are there other personality traits that influence consumption-related outcomes? And since I didn't find that sensation seeking predicted dependence likelihood or problems associated with drinking, are there other traits that do? And in fact, research on non-sexual minority identified samples has found that other traits, the other three traits of impulsivity that I discussed earlier, some of those do predict dependence likelihood, whereas they do not predict consumption. So a little bit more specific hypotheses are warranted as well, or needed as well. Are there personality predictors of differential use patterns? We know that some people may never use substances, some may try it and move away from it very quickly. Others may have or manifest moderate use throughout their life, and others become problematic users. Does personality predict these different outcomes? And then finally, implications exist for conducting research aimed at developing personality-informed prevention and intervention efforts, which is really the point of this whole analysis. Basically, to reduce the health disparity in a novel way, such that the implications exist for developing novel approaches to addressing this health disparity, and maybe looking at personality, we can develop more specific interventions to target this disparity. And that's all. Thank you.